Tonight's Bible reading is from Mark chapter 8, and we're going to start from the second half of verse 9 to verse 21. So Mark 8, verse 9. And having sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given to it." Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And do you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?"
It would be great to have that passage open in front of you from Mark chapter 8. And we remind ourselves that this is God's word that we're looking into tonight. And so let's ask God that he will help us in our understanding of it. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have so clearly spoken to us through this your word. Thank you that you, in your great mercy and love, have not left us to fumble around in the dark, but you have indeed revealed yourself to us. And you have revealed the greatness of your Son, the Lord Jesus, to us through this your word. And we're aware, our Father, that so often we can come to church and we can allow the word sometimes just to wash over us. But again, our Father, tonight we ask that you would give us insight into your word, that you would illumine our hearts and our minds, that we might understand you, and that we might rightly respond to you. And this we pray for your glory alone. Amen. One of the big themes in the book of Mark is the authority of Jesus. Authority that God, through his word in the book of Mark, stresses again and again and again. Authority that the eyewitnesses of the events of this book saw with their own eyes. Authority that is demonstrated in the way that Jesus raises people from the dead. In the way that Jesus heals the sick. In the way that Jesus, at his word, calms the storm. But if you were to ask the average person in Castle Towers tonight what they thought about the authority of Jesus, what do you think they would say? Increasingly, authority is seen these days as something to be skeptical of. We don't like that someone in authority might kind of restrict me, might hold me to account for something, might restrict my individual freedoms to do as I please. I'm an individual. I don't want anyone to kind of tell me what I can and what I can't do. And there's no doubt that authority can be abused, but you see, to say that there is a king and that his name is Jesus, and that he has authority over your life, to say that to someone in Castle Towers tonight, what do you think would be the response? There could be lots of possibilities, couldn't there? If you happen to pick a Christian person, they might say, yes, absolutely, that's right. But what about a non-believer? What about a non-believer? See, what would be their response? They might laugh at you. They might walk away. But if they engaged in the conversation, I think there is a distinct possibility they might say this. Prove it. You say there is a king who lived 2,000 years ago who says that somehow he has some claim over my life. You prove it. And you see, really at the heart of that statement is a questioning of Jesus' authority and his credentials. And the reality is it's the same as the response of these Pharisees in verse 11. See, just to look at the context for a moment, we've just had the feeding of the 4,000. And verse 9, Jesus sends the people away, and with his disciples they go in a boat over the lake again to Dalmanutha. Now, we're not sure exactly where that was, but really the point to pick up is that we're moving from more a sort of Gentile territory to a more mixed kind of territory where there are both Jews and Gentiles. And see, hence verse 11, there are Pharisees there. And if you remember back over the book of Mark, there has been history between Jesus and the Pharisees, hasn't there? For example, in Mark chapter 3, verse 22, the Pharisees, they have given their verdict on Jesus. They say about Jesus, it is because he is of Satan that he drives out Satan. Not a ringing endorsement of Jesus, is it really? But you see, this antagonism of the Pharisees towards Jesus continues. See, verse 11, the Pharisees come to Jesus and they question him. What is their request? They want a sign from heaven. Just like Moses or Elijah or any number of the other Old Testament prophets whom God has used in the past. Come on, Jesus. You prove that you're from God. You show that you're rigidige. That's their request. But you see, what is their motive? What's their motive behind the question? Basically, if you have the authority you claim to have, Jesus, you prove it. You justify to us your credentials. Our son Josh has been doing swimming lessons. And the other day, Shell took him to the pool and she said that in walked this lady and she was with her son and she was very smartly dressed, very smartly dressed. And the reason she noticed was because you don't really sort of go to a swimming pool dressed like that, you know. But anyway, it came the next week and in she came again. But this time she was very smartly dressed again. But this time she had left a badge on her coat. And Shell kind of got a bit of a look at the badge and sort of looked at it and, interesting. Detective Senior Constable so-and-so. Turns out this lady, this well-dressed lady at the swimming pool, was a police detective, plain clothes. You see, that badge explained who the well-dressed lady was. That badge was really her credentials. And that badge was really the symbol of her authority. Because she wears that badge, she has the right to arrest people, you know, to take them off the streets and to put them in the holding cell. That badge is the proof of her credentials. And you see, that's what the Pharisees want. Proof of Jesus' credentials. Proof of his authority. And as we said, that's what a lot of people want, isn't it? Now, I myself have heard people say things like, you know, if Jesus just came and stood before me right now, that's it. Then I would believe. If Jesus did something miraculous right now, yep, then I would believe. You know, you hear people say that. Maybe we as Christians can think sometimes, Jesus, why don't you just sort of show yourself? If you are so loving and if you want people to believe in you, why won't you just confirm it? Show yourself in a miraculous sign, justify your credentials, do something miraculous now, and then people will believe in you. But you see, verse 12 and 13, we see Jesus answer that demand for him to justify his credentials. And it's not, notice the response of, oh, look, oh, good point, good point. Oh, I haven't been that clear about who I am. I better clear it up. No, it's not that. That's not his response. It's the opposite. Verse 12, he sighs deeply. There's exasperation. There's grief in Jesus' response. Why? And he questions why this generation asks for a sign. Why, like the previous generations of Israelites, do you ask for a sign? Do you always want proof? These Pharisees, they're like the Israelites in Psalm 95, verse 9, who tested and tried the Lord, though they had seen what he did. See, it's a reference then again back to the Exodus, where God showed himself, where God demonstrated his power in leading his people. You know, pillar by of fire by night, pillar of cloud by day, as the people of Egypt came up behind them and they had nowhere to go, God demonstrated himself and his power by opening the Red Sea before them, and through they walked on dry land. And yet as they went into the promise, they went on the 40-year journey, again and again, they forgot who God is. And they tested and they tried him. And you see, like the Israelites did, these Pharisees, they've heard and they've seen what Jesus has done, that he has raised the dead, that he has healed the sick. But they still want him to justify his credentials. I mean, you sort of could think, you know, what more do they want? But they still want him to justify his credentials. And so Jesus says, no sign will be given. And verse 13, he leaves them. He gets in the boat and he crosses to the other side. Jesus will not justify himself to those who demand the miraculous to prove who he is. Jesus will not justify himself to those who demand the miraculous to prove who he is. And similarly for the person today, again, I think Jesus would answer in the same way. You demand proof of my authority over you. It doesn't work that way. But you see, why? Why doesn't it work that way? Why won't Jesus justify his authority by doing the miraculous? And the answer to that, I think, comes really in the next verses. You see, verse 14, we get this curious thing about the fact that they had forgotten bread except for one loaf. And they get a bit stressed about this, the disciples. Given the trip that they're about to go on, you know, one loaf of bread, it's probably not that much to feed 13 hungry mouths, you know, you can understand. But you see, verse 15, Jesus addresses what's just happened with the Pharisees. He gets them back on point. And he warns the disciples, be careful. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod. And this warning, you'll notice, goes straight over the disciples' heads. Verse 16, they discuss it. You know, is he talking about yeast because we forgot bread? And then he goes on to address the disciples, and we'll look at that just in a moment. But you see, we need to go back and think carefully about what he means about the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod. You see, what was at the heart of the Pharisees' request? Why did they demand the sign? pretty clear, because it was they didn't believe Jesus and who he claimed to be. They didn't believe Jesus is who he claims to be. You justify your credentials. You show you're the real deal. Implication being, if you don't, then we don't accept you. At the heart of the Pharisees is unbelief. And similarly with Herod. You remember chapter 6, where there's that interesting account about John the Baptist and the way that Herod cut off his head. You remember that? But if you go back there again, you see that Herod too doesn't believe in Jesus. In fact, chapter 6, verse 16, Herod thinks that Jesus is John the Baptist raised from the dead to get back at him for cutting off his head. Again, it's unbelief. It's not believing who Jesus is. And so we ask the question, why won't Jesus justify himself to these Pharisees? And why won't Jesus justify himself to people today? And the answer is because no matter what Jesus does, signs, miracles, writing in the sky, whatever you like, without faith, those miracles would be futile. Put another way, the Pharisees had witnessed sign after sign and still they wouldn't believe. And people of today can read and hear about Jesus in the Gospels and the way he powerfully demonstrates his character, the way that he powerfully demonstrates his credentials. And yet people can read the Gospels again and again and yet they still don't believe. Trust. An example of this I saw. I watched a debate on DVD of John Lennox debating Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins was the guy who wrote the book The God Delusion. Richard Dawkins has a very good knowledge of the Bible. He knows about Jesus. He knows a lot of Christian doctrine in that DVD. But you see, the problem is, he knows all that stuff, but it doesn't lead him to belief, to trust. And you see, this warning that Jesus gives to his disciples, the warning about being careful of the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod, this warning about unbelief is important for us all here to hear as well. We need to hear this warning about unbelief. See, maybe you are not a believer here tonight. Maybe you're the person in Castle Towers who says, "Prove it." And the reality of this passage is that Jesus won't justify himself to you. In fact, sadly, he walks away from that demand. But what he calls you to do is to look again at the Gospels. To look at Mark, for example. And to see there that he is powerful. To see there that he is authoritative over nature. That he has authority over sickness. And he has authority even over death. And therefore the implication of the Gospels is that he has authority over you and he has authority over me too. And the question becomes, how will you respond to that authority? Will you respond with unbelief like the Pharisees? Or will you respond with trust and belief, knowing the joy and the security and the hope that there is in trusting him. Will you trust in his death and in his resurrection on your behalf? Will you hear the warning of this passage and believe in him tonight? But you see, there is also a warning here for us as believers too. See, Jesus' warning to the disciples, his followers, was to be careful about unbelief. And as we notice from verse 16, the disciples, like the previous chapters, they just don't get it, do they? They just don't get it. They're not in the same category, if I can put it like that, as the Pharisees. Out and out unbelief, rejection of Jesus. They are, for one, still on the boat following Jesus. There is some level of faith there. But you see, verse 17, Jesus, aware of their discussion, questions them. Why are you talking about having no bread? Implication being, you've misunderstood again. Think about it, disciples. Do you have eyes but fail to see, ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember, verse 19 and 20, when I fed those large numbers of people, 4,000, 5,000, how many basketfuls did you pick up afterwards? 12, 7. Point being, there was ample enough. Everyone was satisfied. Verse 21, do you still not understand? I can take that one loaf you've got and turn it into a meal or 10, just like that. But you see, Jesus warns his disciples of the cancer of unbelief, if I can put it that way. Like yeast spreads through the dough. Unbelief spreads and grows. And this questioning of the disciples warns them, don't you too end up in that same unbelief. Don't you too miss the obvious character of Jesus and who he is. Don't you miss his credentials. Don't you miss the power and the authority of Jesus. And if you're anything like me, we can be so much like the disciples, can't we? We as believers can know in our heads that Jesus is good. Can know in our heads that he is trustworthy and that he knows what's best and that he's powerful. And we can see ways that he has demonstrated his faithfulness in the past. We can see the way that he gave his life on the cross and the way that he's been raised back to life. We can see the way that he has been at work in our own lives, providing for us. We can see the way that he has worked things out for us when we've thought, how on earth is this going to work out? We can see all of this. And yet the tragedy is we can act in unbelief. We can take our eyes off Jesus and focus on the situation. And we can demand, Jesus, fix this. Why do things have to be this way? This is hard. I don't like this. Are you really good? Do you really know what's happening? And that's where we can go, isn't it? But again, we come back to this word that Jesus gives his disciples. Verse 15, be careful, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod. Watch out for unbelief. Put the other way, trust him. Trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus for your salvation. If that's where you are tonight, trust in Jesus for your whole life, whatever it is that you face. Trust him. He is the one with authority. He is the one with sovereignty over your life. And he uses that authority for your good. So trust him. I want to conclude just with one more point from this tonight. I want you to notice from this passage that Jesus shows patience again and again with his disciples. Verse 21, do you still not understand? You know what? I've had it with you disciples. You will not get it. He doesn't do that, does he? He doesn't do that. Now again, he perseveres and he shows patience towards his disciples. And we'll see in the next section that they do start to get it. And that's a process of revelation. We'll leave that till next time. But Jesus is patient with his disciples. Again, if you're anything like me, I feel like my trust of Jesus can be stronger. My trust of Jesus can be weak. But in the midst of that, Jesus continues to be patient with us, helping us again to see the glory of who he is, helping us to see again his authority and his power. And he calls us to continue to grow in our trust in him. He is trustworthy. He loves us. He gave his life for us. And we are to trust him because he uses his authority for our good.